uses this mantra of Palestinians used as human shields. Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the Israeli breaking the silence, a group of former soldiers
Hamas
have all
admit
testified
to it. Hamas say they
to the
do it. They're
same,
proud of it.
To this same allegation, reports about the same allegation, and I encourage listeners and viewers to look up those reports, and have disproved that Palestinians have been used as human shields. Hamas might ask Palestinians to be human shields, but are Palestinians robots? Do they not have minds and hearts and care for their children? Why dehumanize them and accuse them of mindlessly listening to Hamas, to whom they protest against? This is a dehumanizing discourse, and we should reject it vehemently.
Joshua Hammond, I want to ask you about the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's actual tweet. Where he said, vengeance for the blood of a small child Satan has not yet created. We mourn every child. Now, in this latest assault in Gaza, you have over 100 Palestinians killed. It's estimated at least 22 of them children. About a half of them are women and children. How do you square that with what your prime minister says? There have been no Israeli deaths.
Let me actually correct you, because this escalation was started by Hamas. And if you look at what the professor said, is completely incorrect. The truce was not held by Hamas. And every single month for the last decade, rockets have been fired into Israel, even after November 2012, where we had this operation Pillar of Defense, and we restored the deterrence. You know how many rockets were fired in 2013, the quietest year in a decade? There were still 76 rockets fired at Israel, 76 indiscriminate rockets fired at our kids, fired at our old people, fired at our women.
But could you respond to this issue of the deaths?
Yes, ma'am.
You've got over 100 Palestinians who've now been killed.
Well, first of all, I've already said that for Israel, any civilian death is not only a tragedy, but it's a failure as well. And we review every single operation and every single strike to see how we can improve. We've hit over 800 targets to try and stop these rockets, to try and stop this indiscriminate missile fire against our civilians. And out of those 800 targets, I'll be honest, the precision is quite outstanding. And there is no military in the history of the world that has actually used such precision targets. I mean, think about it from military tactics point of view. We tell our enemies, we tell Hamas where we're going to hit. We tell them with text messages, with phone calls, with leaflets. We tell them in order to get civilians out of harm's way. But for them, civilian deaths is actually, it's actually a success. This is what they want.
My counterpart
would not condemn this use of human shields, which Hamas is proud about. They call for it on TV. They said it. Their spokesperson said it yesterday. Their interior ministry put out a press release saying, Palestinians, come to the roofs. Stay in the homes where we're firing the rockets from. It's disgusting. And I would like her to actually condemn it.
I absolutely consider it reprehensible. What straight-minded person would actually accept that? That's not the point. I've repeatedly explained that Palestinians are not robots who listen to Hamas. They care about their children and their families.
What do you think needs to happen in this last minute that we have?
You know, what really needs to happen is what has needed to happen for over 66 years of the displacement and dispossession of Palestinians, over 47 years of military occupation and continuing colonial expansion, which is the lifting of the siege, the end of the occupation, equality for all in Palestine without distinction, Palestine and Israel without distinction to religion, as Israel would have us believe. The entirety of the Israeli state is built on the premise of a demographic equation that needs and necessitates a Jewish majority. That should make us all concerned and raise red flags for us and make us stop before we call it the only democracy in the Middle East and continue to fund it another year with $3.1 billion without any accountability.
What would stop the Israeli assault on Gaza, Joshua Hammond?
Ma'am, what would stop the Israeli assault on Gaza? A commitment for a long-term ceasefire. No more rocket fire. I'm talking about not the trickling in of more rockets and more missiles, but actually Hamas stopping the rocket fire. Let me remind you, ma'am, that the Palestinian Authority, who, by the way, controls areas A and B in the West Bank.
5 seconds.
And and used to have control also in the Gaza Strip. They've just joined a unity government with Hamas.
We have to end it here.
This terrorist organization that's been firing rockets at Israel. So we call on them to end this unity for terror.
Joshua Hatman, senior advisor to Israel's ambassador to the United States, and Nora Arakat, a Palestinian human rights attorney, adjunct professor at Georgetown. I want to thank you for being with us. Our website is democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Check our job openings at our website. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, K220HR Hood River, K282BH Philomath. Coming up, we have Positively Revolting Talk Radio. Call in and talk to Joe Uris. Tell him everything's going to be okay in this crazy world we have right now. Also have a community announcement today. All United Free Palestine is holding a rally this Saturday calling for an immediate ceasefire and end to the occupation of Palestine. That is this Saturday, July 12th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Pioneer Square in downtown Portland. We'll get to Positively Revolting right after this.
KBOO Community Radio and Peña Flamenca de Portland are proud to co-sponsor Lily Last and Pepe Rafael on Friday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. Pepe Rafael of Pepe and the Bottle Blondes will team up with Lily Last of Stomptown Flamenco for an evening of flamenco. Again, that's Lily Last and Pepe Rafael on Friday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, located at Southeast 2nd Avenue and Madison Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is Positively Revolting. Blah, revolting positively. with a very temporary host, me, Joe Uris. To call 231-8187. I'm beginning to think that there's a vast right-wing plot against America led by the worst elements of monopoly capital. I don't like conspiracy theories. I think things happen for structural reasons, if you understand it different. But look at the plutocracy plot that's going on. Suddenly, the media introduces us once again to the lying Dick Cheney, who led us directly into the lying behaviors and the lying beliefs that led us directly into the disaster of Iraq, which is leading now directly into the very thing that we needed to avoid, which is a struggle, a fight between the Sunni and the Shia. And I want to make clear that this is parallel to a historic event going back to the 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries, even the 16th century, called religious wars. So we are revisiting a terrible thing that had a terrible result in European history, and we are seeing the continuing terrible result of religious war in the Middle East. Is there a plot against America? I mean, am I being CIA spying on Germany, our supposed ally, but apparently not our partner? And the president not being informed that there's a CIA agent in place spying on Germany, then the guy gets caught. I assume it's a guy. I don't know that. And then the president doesn't get told that, and he goes and makes a cold call to the premier of Germany, and Merkel says, "What are you doing?" He doesn't even know what's going on. Other nations' leaders knew well in advance of the leadership of the United States, of our spying, and of the fact that the spy was caught. We are stuck. We are really stuck as a nation, becoming more and more isolated, more and more what I would call a third world nation, whose wealth depends on the ability to suck out of our soil, suck out of our land, suck out of our geology and geography, all of the valuable minerals and assets. We are building pipelines that go across the biggest aquifer in the world. We are engaged in the most destructive kind of fracking, all of which produces money for who? Well, some working folks get jobs, but for the rest of us, it ain't nothing. Stuck. And coal trains and oil trains and fracking and endless destruction of the environment, topping off mountains, all of which feed the Koch brothers and others who become vastly, vastly wealthy and then turn that money to a program which actually opposes democracy in the United States. Now, I'm not talking about Republicans and Democrats as the two so-called parties of right and left. I'm talking about a program to tie up the government of the United States and make it appear invalid and unable to operate so that everybody, everywhere, begins to turn in doubt to what I think is actually a planned campaign for a right-wing, I don't want to use the word takeover because it would be a voted upon process, but to a right-wing government, which would further its racism, its sexism. Oh, I sexism? Well, look at the Supreme Court and what they just did to reproductive rights. This is a very, very serious situation. The United States is becoming more and more isolated in the world. The United States is behaving like a bully. The United States is getting caught with its pants down, and it's, I can't say the rest of that. Okay. So I want to hear from you. I want you to make me feel better about this. Here's a story that blows my mind, that is typical of ordinary things in America, although it's an extraordinary story. Here's a kid in love with a girl. They're a couple. They've been together for quite some time. This is in Manassas, Virginia, site of a very famous battle in the Civil War. And he sends a nude selfie of himself to his girlfriend. Now, I don't know about you guys. I don't got the body for it, and I don't got the style for it, and I don't got the age for it. So, selfies are beyond my comprehension, except intellectually. But he sends a pretty picture of himself, or maybe a picture of himself looking pretty, I don't know, but without clothes. And the mother of the girl, now they've been going together for a while. She's 15, I believe. He's 17. The mother of the girl freaks, understandably. Nobody wants their kid getting naked pictures of anybody. So she, rather than going to the boy's family and say, "Hey, what you doing here?" Which would be appropriate. She freaks. She calls the police. The police are perverts, it turns out. Yeah, I accuse the Manassas police of perversion. I don't mean that they're gay or straight. I don't mean that they do acts that are not reproductive. I mean perverted. And here's what they do. They bust the kid without telling his family. They make him strip naked. They make pictures of him. Then they decide, this thing gets creepier and creepier, that in order to prove that he's some kind of a pervert reaching out to others, they decide they need a picture of him with an erection. I'm not making this up. So they make a plan to have him seized, and this is without any constitutional rights, to have him seized and taken to a hospital where he will be injected with drugs that will cause him to have an erection, which they will then photograph to see whether that erection looks like another erection somewhere else online. Oh, no, I'm not making this up. Oh, I cannot believe this story, but it is absolutely true. Fortunately, he reaches his aunt, who is his guardian. She gets a hold of a lawyer. They put a stop to this. But here's the question. Here's the really important question. What kind of freaky, perverted police behavior is it to fuss with teenagers' misbehavior, if it's even that, and then to actually manipulate a situation where they create a pornographic photo of a minor so they can make him be a criminal? This is what's going on in the United States. Oh, well, it's an isolated incident. Yes, but it's normative. That is to say, it's what we're taking as normal today. It's what we're accepting. Now, I am not mentioning this story solely because it's so perverse. I am mentioning the story because I believe it is so much more typical than we would like to know about the behavior of our police. What do I mean? Well, look at the way the police operate in many cities, including Portland. There's lots of evidence of police misbehavior. Nobody does anything about it. Our police are better than the police in some places, but it's really, really, really a drag. Now, all of this makes me feel depressed and angry and unable to think of a way to respond to it. The Democratic Party, better than nothing, but weak. Obama, tied up. He tries. The joke about him is sort of true. That is that he punts on the first down. He tries to do the right thing. He starts compromising before it's required. He ain't no Lyndon Johnson, who was a foolish, foolish man in that he followed the advice of the military into Southeast Asia and a disastrous war, but who also built a series of programs that helped the poor. What we had needed when this great recession occurred was a program similar to that one that was built by Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And it would have put people to work. Look, our bridges are failing. Our highways are failing. Our railroads are slow and failing. Our whole infrastructure is damaged and needing a repair, including the route between here and Washington. All of this, Washington, the state, all of this is going on amidst an incredible degree of outrage and anger and manipulated hatred against minorities, against people who are coming to this country for seeking opportunity or escape from violence. All of this further isolating the United States. We still haven't figured out how to apologize to Germany. We are, in fact, an isolated nation. I am, in fact, angry and very, very depressed about all this. Now, here's what I want from you. I would love it if all of you out there could find some positive thing that's happening, some struggle event perhaps, or some good behavior, some generosity, some gesture, perhaps a religious one, I don't mind, that will bring us a better, more positive view of what's going on. Because, you know, the Catholics used to say that there's a great sin called despair. And I don't know about sin, because I don't know about sin. I know about bad behavior and good behavior. But I believe that we need to begin to build a movement in this country that is much more vast, much more profound, and much more sincere than any of the existing or pre-existing left-wing organizations. No criticism of them. But that setting us up in isolation is very, very dangerous at this time. You know, it is, for me, very sad, because I come out of a history of struggle, and you know, I modestly say, in the peace movement and the civil rights movement and a whole host of other causes, environmental stuff, and I see what's going on right now with an insane power-grabbing plutocracy, more and more powerful, more and more in charge, throwing money, which the Supreme Court allows, at every election to make sure they win. We, all of us, need to deal with this. And one of the paradoxes is that supporting Democrats is not enough, because the Democratic Party intellectually and politically has become extremely weak. It is not a social democratic party. It is not a party of the people at this point. It is isolated. It is fighting the good fight to some degree, but it is unwilling to say the great truths that need to be said. That's not to criticize our congressional representation here in Oregon. We're lucky, I think, in our local representation, but there's much to be done. There's much needed. And it's all going to be dependent on you, because the money is pouring in to make sure right-wing weirdo, environmental disaster denying people who believe in a religious description of the world. The universe is only 6,000 years old. Human beings were riding dinosaurs, like some old comic series. It's all crazy. It's all crazy, but it's also all dangerous. This is a very, very dangerous time. Now, I want you to do something for us, all of us who listen to KBOO. I want you to give me any instances, small or big, minor or major, that you see as signs of improvement, of change, of positivity. And that will help us all appreciate the fact that there's other stuff going on as well. Okay? So can we do that? Can I get a testimony here? Can I get a voice to say it's all right? We got somebody. Who is it? Jane? Yeah, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is James.
Oh, hi, James. I haven't heard from you since the Constitution went away. Make it good, man, because I want to hear something positive.
Well, I called in before you mentioned the positive thing.
I see. Okay, go ahead.
What I was going to point out was that the Nazis were only 2% of the population of Germany when they were brought to power.
Yeah.
And that they were enabled to be brought to power by imperialists.
Yeah, also by the injustices of the previous war. Yeah, anyway,
yes,
go ahead.
Which was brought about by imperialists.
Yes, and, no argument there.
And what I see going on, and this is the first thing that we need to do, is face reality. In order for us to all kind of get marching to the same tune, if you want to unite the 99%, which is what I've been trying to figure out how we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, how we can do this. And the reality is that America is being set up in this century like Germany was set up in the last century. And we're going to take the fall, and the imperial powers, if you will do to us what they did to Germany in the last century.
Wait a minute. It seems to me the only significant, really big imperial power at this time is the United States. I mean, where's the rivalry?
What the imperialists are doing now through monetary policy, global monetary policy.
Yeah, I always forget.
They're collapsing.
Where you're at. Yeah.
They're collapsing the economy in America. They're building the economy in China. They're going to we won't be able to afford our navy, so they'll do away with our navy. They'll do away with our military. They'll build up China's navy and military, and then they will attack us, and they will reduce the population of North America by 2/3.
Now, wait a minute. James, hold it. That's quite a perspective. I'm torn here. On the one hand, I find your ideas fascinating. On the other hand, I find them incorrect, you know, to be honest with you. But I just, the imperialist powers, I'm sorry, man. What I see is a classic late-stage capitalist situation in the United States, and we're the big imperialist power.
That's because you're looking at it from a perspective. You're looking at everything from an opposite perspective of where those of us who advocate for liberty.
Wait a minute, stop. The whole notion that I'm not advocating for liberty is insulting. Really? Now, you can argue.
I'm sorry, I did not. I'm sorry. I did not mean to insult you. I'm trying my best to articulate,
okay,
you know, my, because what you're doing when you say the right wing, you are equating those of us who advocate for Jeffersonian democracy, you are equating us with Nazis.
No. That's not really happening. Listen, I got to give other people an opportunity. Thanks for the call, James. Okay. Well, that didn't cheer me up. You know, what is this about? It's not about cheering me up. It's about analyzing the situation in the United States today. I was just earlier today actually listening to Rachel Maddow. I mean, not Rachel Maddow, pardon me, the Democracy Now! And I was reminded, listening to Glenn Beck, of the peculiar, perverse nature of the right wing in America today. And let me just outline some things I see. This is not a criticism of James. James is on a whole other trip. But let me be clear about this. What I perceive, and I think it's very important, is that the gloves are off for the most aggressive parts of monopoly capital, that they are fighting what they perceive as the good fight for what they perceive as a rightful America, which essentially is enshrining the 1% of 1% as the ruling class in the country and doing nothing to build democracy in the society. The history of the United States, to a great extent, despite its terrible experience with slavery, its horrible, horrible inhumanity, its slaughter of the Native American peoples, and a whole host of other crimes against humanity, has, despite all that, shown progress through time. The end of slavery, but not the creation of equality. The end of second-class citizenship for women, but not the creation of equality. So, but there's been progress. There has been progress. And right now, for the first time in my experience, I'm looking at a situation where there does not seem to be a forward path, which is possible. And I'm saying, come on, give me some hope. Show me some ways out. Show me something. And why? Well, look. The United States' only firm ally in the Middle East, as we call it, is Israel. Israel has an issue, endless issue, with the people who they kicked out of the land of Palestine. So an endless set of problems, an endless process. Israel is probably the fourth largest nuclear power. I mean, this is all very scary. We are attached to it, attached by an umbilicus of guilt and desire for equality, which has become, I think, very perverse in the face of what the current Israeli government is about. All that, just beginning to drive me nuts, and I'm beginning to lose it. I'm beginning to feel like, oh my God, what could go wrong next? And boom, oh, we were spying on the Germans. Boom, we got caught. Oh, they didn't tell the president. Oh, and so on. Let me hear from you. Who do we got?
Brian,
cheer me up.
Well, I think I can cheer you up a little bit.
Cool. But, go for it.
You know, listen, I think the good news here is just it's kind of bizarro world. I think the best news I've heard in a long time.
I got to interrupt you, not to stop you, but you remember the Superman Bizarro series?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So, I think Germany, and given its history, and that's all I want to say about it.
Yeah, given its history. Yeah.
Kicking us out for spying is just, I think it's great. I mean, you know, this is like another shake. It's not a touch of the wake-up call. This is a shake, you know. I think, you know, when Bolivia kicked us out, when other South American countries have kicked us out, you know, we're kind of like, oh, well, who cares about them? But Germany, the wealthiest country in the world, the country that has seen more progress in the last 60 years, has thrown us out.
Well, and, they've only thrown our CIA people.
Right, exactly. But that's throwing us out. You know, I mean, you know that most, diplomatic corps in different countries are basically a large part of their job is intelligence gathering.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not unusual that there be some kind of observation or even spying. It's been so gross in this case, however.
Even our Peace Corps has been doing intelligence gathering, I know, since the 70s. I have friends who were in the Peace Corps.
Yeah, and all that's true. In fact, one of the horrors of today is that in Pakistan, we used people who were supposedly giving people vaccinations against polio as our agents. And the result of that, in that very fundamentalist country, is that now children are dying of polio because the agents who inject people are not trusted. So,
well,
yeah.
Joe, let me cheer you up with a suggestion.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm seriously, you know, years ago, I've been calling you. You know, I'm done. I don't discuss things with Republicans and right-wing people anymore. And it's just the fact that, and I can put it, you know, in one blanket statement, the technology of human survival and well-being has far surpassed our concept and our legal definition of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you can grasp that, you know, look at Germany, look at Europe, look at, you know, the way South America is progressing. We have the technology now, and we know that, you know, first of all, there's no basis for arguing that, African people are less equal than us. We know that they are equal completely in every way. So, you know, the bottom line goes, the world is accepting that, and we're still arguing about it. The point is why are we still arguing with these people ad nauseum? We take these people to court over this stuff. You know, we spend millions of dollars. And
you're not cheering me up.
Lobby case, right?
You're not cheering me up.
No. But there is a point, I think, when if you look outside of the United States, you know, the rest of the world is progressing. We will have to progress, you know, or we will die. And the bottom line goes, I'd like to see, you know, you and I stop discussing Glenn Beck and even mentioning his name. I haven't mentioned his name in months. But and Rush Limbaugh and all these other guys, Sarah Palin, that needs to stop. Those people are about as important as, I don't know. I mean, you know, I just don't see them as...
Well, they're not important, but they're influential.
No, they're not. They're only influential because we create a platform for them to be influential. And
well, who's
so
the we in that
sense?
We have to
take responsibility of this.
Yeah, but when you say we, you're talking about the media. You're talking about money makers who get advertising, the advertisers supporting these people, essentially.
Okay, so what if you did this? And I know this sounds real basic and it sounds very 60s.
Sure,
but
go
I'm going to say this. What if you did what I did? Every time I hear Newt Gingrich or Sarah Palin or any of those people that I don't mention their names, what if I just shut them off? And that's what I do. As soon as I hear their voice cackle, or as soon as I hear somebody talk about them, I shut it off. And then I usually, you know, sometimes I even call, you know, whoever's responsible, and I say, I'm not listening to you. You know, I mean, you're not going to get to me anymore. Because, and that cuts.
Yeah, but that's what you're finding is, what you're describing is a psychological, and it's not inappropriate, a psychological approach that allows you to be insulated from something that really is happening. I want to be clear. The majority of American people are decent folk, and they're not engaged in a right-wing conspiracy.
No, they're not.
But the money... And it's not all the money by any means, but the top-end money with the collaboration of the more rational corporations are engaged in a process that will restrict democracy for the near future. Anyway, I appreciate your call. You've not cheered me up, but you made me think about some stuff. I'm going to give some others a chance.
Well, I definitely, and you have and you know what, if I can cheer you up by saying have a good day.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, who could not like that? I'll show you a good day. Rah! All right. I want to hear from you. This is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm Joe Uris. I'm just sitting in for the positively revolting women that doesn't sound right, who do a wonderful show, and they're gone for a little bit of summer vacation, and I'm just sort of sitting in for them. I do want to hear from you. The number to call, 231-8187. What I'm wrestling with, and I think I wrestled with it a bit last week, and I'm wrestling with it this week, is what seems to me to be an ongoing, overwhelming series of crises that lead the United States into a position of being like a third world power, in the sense that it's our resources that are valuable, not our labor, not our creativity, not our brilliance. Our educational system is getting weaker. Our infrastructure is falling apart. All the things that could make us competitive are being dropped in favor of essentially a third world approach, where we ship out our oil and our coal and our gas, and we destroy our environment in that process. And I include Canada in that picture. I want to hear from you. I want you to cheer me up. But if you don't want to cheer me up, give me another outrage. 231-8187. Mark, you're there.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, man.
Thanks for your passion and for your light, and for speaking truth to power, for emphasizing that we are caught in self-destruction. You know, late-stage capitalism is an example of self-destruction, of just pretending that our economy is not wasteful and unjust, and is rather natural and inevitable.
I agree. I mean, by the way, what you just said is well said, man. Go ahead.
I think the right wing is really based on myths, on irrational myths, and right now some of the irrational myths are a fear of Europe, a fear of redistribution, kind of a fear of separation of powers.
I even think it's a fear of women, by the way.
Yes, a fear of the unknown, a fear of the future. I think Eric Fromm discuss many of these
in Escape from Freedom.
In Escape from Freedom, and
yeah,
how the people are actually ready for an authoritarian leader, or yearn for an authoritarian leader.
I'm not going to cut you off, but I want to interrupt you just to point out that a lot of what Roosevelt did, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, well, good stuff, was essentially setting up the notion of a strong man to rule the country. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I recommend that you put yourself on a Bolt bus and spend a week in Vancouver, Canada, at the Patricia Hotel, which is very close to the Carnegie Community Center. If you can't do this, then watch a video titled "Going to Town." Mm-hmm. It's a 30-minute video on YouTube explaining how they built the SkyTrain, which is a computer-operated light rail connecting the whole city. Now, they built this in 1986 while Reagan was attacking Nicaragua and El Salvador.
And I want you to, I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of what's going on at the border right now has to do with the consequences of our supporting fascist dictatorships in that part of the world, and even doing drug deals, but I don't have time for that. Go ahead.
Well, capitalism is constant crisis, and we usually shift the crises to the periphery.
Right.
And or Canada. I mean, I think, it's, I guess, rational and irrational. We just refuse to accept Canada as a teacher and a friend, because we're just looking for markets.
Well, and of course, right now, Canada's government is dominated by the worst elements of the right wing.
Well, it's Western Canada. I think we actually need to become a protectorate of Western Canada for maybe a decade.
Wait a minute. Where are you going with that? Okay, so, anyway.
Well, we let them try to solve the campaign financing and the melting of the dollar. Canadians are very friendly, and for what we squander an afternoon in Afghanistan, they could help solve these two incredible crises.
Well, I appreciate your seeing hope in Canada. I do have to give others an opportunity, and I think it's an interesting question. Is Canada the model for a modern Western state?
Vancouver is an Arcadia, a little stress-free Arcadia, where things work, where neighborhoods are flourishing, and people are happy to be Canadian.
Well, I don't know about the Bolt bus, but I might go up there and take a look around.
Absolutely.
I haven't been there in years. Thanks a lot for the call, man.
You're welcome.
All right, 231-8187. My name's Joe Uris. I'm sitting in for the wonderful women who do Positively Revolting. We want to hear from you. I'm in despair. I know it doesn't matter who the hell is he. But, you know, I think I've got my finger on the pulse of a terrible, 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 did I say terrible enough? Terrible time in American history. Make me cheerful. Show me something that's happening. Give me some sense of the resistance that's created. Remember, we learned about the 1% because of a movement that came out of out of Wall Street. You know, we are a capable movement people. We have done wondrous things. We broke the back of a terrible racist system. Historically, we broke it more than once. We can do it again. We are building rights for women. We, of course, are being checked by a terrible Supreme Court. But we are a people that have an ability to bounce back. And I'm hoping that will happen. But I don't see the movement. I know there's a lot of people, you know, in an environmental movement, a lot of people doing this. But where is the great power? Where is the Social Democratic Party or whatever the hell it's going to be called that can make a difference in America today? And will you persuade me, please, that things are going to get better because they keep getting worse? 231-8187. Mike, you're on the... Oh, Mike, it's your chance.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Joel. I think it should be called the Tinfoil Party.
you mean like a tinfoil hat to protect you from the rays? Yeah.
Because, you know, it starts with a T, but, you know, it doesn't rhyme with pool or trouble or anything like that. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, when we understand the Tea Party, which is what you're talking about, we realize that this was manipulated by the Koch brothers and others.
Well, of course, you know, we know what we're up against. And, you know, I enjoyed your countdown at the beginning of the show about how it's a 12th century battle. Mm-hmm. And then you said 11th, well, you said 13th, 11th, 10th, 9th. I think it's like a 9th century battle. It has to do with the Council of Chalcedon because you were mentioning Kierkegaard. And I also like your other callers who said, Mark and his advocacy of our neighbor in the, you know, western region of Canada, and also the previous caller who said that you can just shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
So that is encouraging, that whenever you hear those cackles or whatever, you know, that you know, you can just shut them down. You can shut them. And unlike 1984, they won't find you if you shut it down just for a while, you know. I mean, it's I'm not being O'Brien here.
So you're suggesting going off the grid, essentially?
Yeah, essentially I am. And I'd like to say that all of the stories you cited at the beginning of your program and it filling in as Positively Revolting, you are absolutely revolting. So, you know.
So I take that as a compliment. So, man.
It is because you didn't give out the prefix of the number for the telephone number, and I actually had to go to my 1993 telephone book.
Oh, I'm so sorry. 503-231-8187.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You did it for 27 minutes later. So anyway.
I'm pretty revolting myself. Okay,
yeah,
anyway.
So, you're doing an excellent job filling in. And so what I was going to say was this is going to be really, really off, you know, off the wall and everything. But
just say it, man.
Sure. I've been reading about the Civil War, and, you know, I read, it was by a gentleman historian named Keegan, and he basically says that there's apartheid in the Civil War cemeteries in the United States in terms of the sacrifices of the Confederate soldiers is not acknowledged whatsoever in any sense.
Yeah, they were the losers.
Well, they were, and you know, so we are rewriting the history. We, as the Social Democratic Movement, and what's happening in Germany is really ironic, because as the Social Democratic Movement, we should have some clout and tell the Kaiser, you know, I mean, to just back off and or stop punting on first down. That was a really good thing you said there, Joseph. So, yeah, Obama tends to punt on first down, so we should, you know, tell the Kaiser, you know, to punt on third down, you know, quick kick or something. I mean, do something a little bit
different.
So
you're calling Obama a king? That's what Kaiser means.
Yeah, he is a Kaiser. You know, he is the Kaiser, and, you know, he is the Republican, he is the you know, Republican Nixon, essentially. I mean, he is farther to the right than Nixon was.
Oh, okay, so I agree with that.
Yeah, so, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna let others have a chance.
Yeah, so thanks for letting me on the show, and I had a cheerful story to tell you, but only in our neighborhood can you chase people around with money to try to donate to them, and you know, and sometimes they run too fast. So you know, just stay in one place for a while, or go up to Vancouver and see how it is there.
Listen, right, I appreciate the call.
Okay, you bet.
Yeah, 231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And I haven't heard any women callers. I don't know whether that's just. Let's go to Brenda. Hi, Brenda. Brenda there?
Come to me. Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm not well-versed in all of this, and I'm not real literate about it, but I have been listening. My dad has taught me a lot, and so I wanted to cheer you up.
Oh, thank you.
I really believe there's going to be a shift. I believe more and more people are coming aware to things that are going on. I believe that more and more people are talking about it. That's why it's so important that you keep talking about it. And I know people are like, I'm so tired of talking about it. What is the solution? But I think that as long as all of us are talking about it and becoming aware, we're forming little groups, little pods, if you will, all around the country. And pretty soon when the powers that be decide that they're going to do whatever to us, there'll be so many little pods that we will come together and there will be that force.
I think that's possible, and I think that is a hopeful idea. I also think you never know, and this is, I get this out of, Jean-Paul Sartre, I get it out of a movie, I can't remember the name of it, about the Cuban Revolution of the long, long ago. When you struggle against evil, when you struggle against totalitarianism, you can never know where the tipping point lies. You may think that, you know, it's hopeless. You may think that there's nothing to stop things. But the great objective truth of the environment, the onrushing climate change, the great truth of human need and human desire and human vision, all of that mitigates against the idea of a despair-filled and deadly world. So, yeah, I get unhappy, and yeah, I don't see the future being so bright and everything, but it's just maybe that I don't know enough, that maybe none of us knows enough to realize what the great process is, and we will possibly, very possibly, as people have suggested, wake up to a new day. Meanwhile, yes. I'm waiting to hear the good news. Go ahead.
Yes, yes, that's exactly it. I think so. And, you know, I don't want to feel like I am helpless.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, you do feel helpless when you have such a big, powerful machine governing you. And you feel like, oh, I'm just this one little person in Portland, Oregon, but I have my group of friends and we all feel the same. But you still feel like, well, what can we do? So I think we all just need to keep working at it, keep doing our thing, all collectively in our own little neighborhoods, in our own little towns, and just keep spreading awareness, and it's going to be okay. It really is. One way or another, I mean, we're all leaving here anyway. So it's going to be okay, no matter what.
Hey, I really appreciate the call. It does cheer me up. And I think your point, that is that what's going on may not be the thing that gets into the media. It may be the thing that stays in the neighborhood until it's relevant. And I really appreciate the call.
You're welcome. I appreciate you on the air talking, and I appreciate K-Boo. Love K-Boo.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks
okay,
very
bye-bye.
Much. Yeah, this is Positively Revolting. This is Joe. You're sitting in for the two wonderful women who do this show normally. They're on vacation. I won't be here too long, I promise. And I'm despair-filled. I'm very angry. I'm disappointed. I cannot believe the weakness of the Democrats, except that I understand their weakness comes out of the fact of the enormous conspiracy against them from every element, from the five foolish men on the Supreme Court to the terrible money pouring in which the courts enabled from the Koch brothers and others into our political system. And I'm looking for action. I'm looking for the positive force. And several of you are beginning to provide it, and you're making me happy. Let's go to another caller, 203-231-8187. Oh, hey, there's somebody from the Revolutionary Party. Who are you?
Hello, yes, that's me.
Okay.
This is the movement exactly that you've been talking about your whole show. It has already started, and it's popular. It's a populist movement. People in the right, left, even the Tea Party agree with it because we're keeping it very, very simple.
What is the simple idea?
Get the money out. Get the corruption out. Get the corporate influence out. All the problems, not addressing climate change, the fracking, the war, foreign wars, it's all, would you agree, ties right back to the corporate agenda. The corporate agenda
wants I agree.
Rule the
I
planet. Agree. So you have to ban it 100%.
I don't know how you can. I don't know how you can ban it, but okay. Yeah.
Well, that's the core tenet of the party.
Okay.
It's getting it banned, getting every person in office that wants to overturn Citizens United, that wants to strip corporations of their personhood, wants to just make it 100% across the board illegal for corporations to donate to any political activity whatsoever. Only citizens can. And cap citizens' contributions at 2 times federal minimum wage so that billionaires can't just keep buying them individually. Elections.
No, I think those are both good ideas. I don't know if they're constitutional right now, but I think they're both good ideas.
Or add amendments. This is the thing. This is our country. We can change it the way we want because
we
it's
can.
Our country.
We can. You're right.
And stuff to cheer you up. I was looking online the other day at dailychaos.org/.com. It's a quote-unquote progressive like news site, independent news page, KOS, Daily Chaos.
Yeah, I know it.
And they had a line graph of their hits, their people going to their webpage, and they were doing a fundraiser. That's what it was. They needed more donations to expand their operations because it's growing and growing and growing. So many people are going to their webpage now. And they showed a line graph, and their hits are like 3 or 4 times the amount of hits that are going to rushlimbaugh.com. Okay, so people are not, you need to just forget about the crazy right-wing talk radio and characters because they are not really cared about by the masses. Everybody knows those people are wacko. Everybody knows they're just like ringmasters in a little circus, and people aren't buying, even right-wing people aren't buying all that stuff.
I think you're probably right.
Right-wing people aren't buying their own leadership. They're not buying the Republicans. They are fed up with the same thing, the corruption in politics. So you keep it at that, and then we get all the corruption out, and then we have people come into office that are actually representative of the people, and all these other little things will start to change. And you don't have to worry about all these people that want to put creationism in our schools and all that stuff isn't popular with the majority. So it will not happen.
So all we need, what you're arguing, if I understand you correctly, is we need to ignite the energy of all of the people who are more rational and more sane, more humane, and the result will be a better republic. Is that it?
Exactly. And we need to get them all in one party, the Revolutionary Party, instead of half of them in the Democratic Party, half of them in the Green Party, some of them in the Tea Party, some of them just register as independent.
Okay, so you want, so you kind of want one grand progressive party.
Yeah, a populist movement.
I think it's a great idea, and I appreciate it, and I support it. So thanks a lot for the call, man.
Pump it. The Revolutionary Party. It's choice.
All right. 231-503-231-8187. This is positively. Oh, it is positively revolting. And I'm sitting in for the two wonderful women who do this show. My name's Joe Uris. I'm saying it's all going to hell. Let's go to Paul Rowland. I never hardly hear him these days.
Yeah, hey, Joe.
Hey, man, how are you?
Pretty good. Well, I figured since I didn't do a talk show this week, I should, get on the air.
Okay, man.
So, I just wanted to, push back a little bit on this. You're talking about social democratic parties.
Mm-hmm.
And, you mentioned Nazism and, fascism or whatever. But so, what if we're actually in a fascist situation? And, if you look at the response of social democratic parties to fascism, they basically caved every time. So what is there to think that a social democratic party wouldn't just do the same thing again?
Well, that's an interesting point, actually. I don't think there's a historical parallel directly with what happened in Germany and Italy and so on with what's happening in the United States. This is a much more advanced, much more technologically rich, and much more actually conservative in the sense of not being so crazy and not trying to obviously limit people's rights situation. But yeah. There's no guarantee that creating a social democratic party is going to be a solution. The degree to which the party is radical and struggles about the fundamental issues, radical simply means at the root. That's really the question, and I think you're raising a good point.
Well, I just read this essay. It's actually part of a George Jackson's prison writing, Soledad Brother.
Oh, yes.
It's called Fascism, Its Most Advanced Form is Here in America.
Mm.
I really recommend everybody reading this. It's absolutely brilliant.
Okay.
It basically says that we've been basically fascist since FDR. I mean, basically the New Deal instituted basically what is corporatism. You know, Mussolini called fascism corporatism. Mm-hmm. Basically the blending, the total blending of corporate power and government, federal government and other government structures. And that's basically been unchecked, despite the 60s, despite everything else. It's really been unchecked up to now, and it's just gotten corporations have just gotten more and more power because of basically the structures. I mean, you can even go back to the Constitution itself, which basically set up some basic structure. Although it's been a lot of it has been Supreme Court decisions. Sort of a judicial enabling of corporations. But there's really nothing in the Constitution itself, or at least the way it's been interpreted, that has really checked that power ever since,
I think the recent decisions that create the notion, which begins in a misreading of things in the late 19th century, the notion that somehow corporations have personhood is really a disastrous idea. Anyway, Paul, I want to thank you for the call. I want to give some others an opportunity while we got time.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks very much for the call. 503-231-8187. I haven't gotten cheered up yet, but I'm hearing some good ideas. Let's hear from somebody else. Harvey, now you're here.
Hi, Joe. Well, I have something that I think to cheer you up. I think there is a change in human consciousness, and it's a global consciousness. And I say be noble, think global. And what's happening here is that, and with human beings, it's always a messy affair. But I think one of the things is that we're being birthed into the stars. We're 7 billion people now, and it's like it's time to fly or die. We're like birds leaving the nest. So
is this like Arthur Clarke's Childhood's End?
It's not necessarily Childhood's End, but it's a birthing into a new reality and a lot more real estate. I'm thinking yeah. Open up a Martian Realties. You know, we got.
Well, here's the problem. I think about it. Brendan Behan wrote a play, the last song in which is "Keep your hands off." I can't remember the exact words, but "Keep your hands off the moon." I am not sure that it's a good idea for us with our current consciousness and technologies to be moving out of this planet till we solve some of this planet's problems.
Well, I think it's that's not the way it goes. We move out messy style. It's the human way. It's not unified necessarily. It's corporations battling each other into space. That's the way we are, and that's where we're going. But here's a couple very interesting things. First of all, there's more cell phones and tablets on the planet today than there are people, and that was an article I read from 2013. So on an electronic level, our nervous system, our electronic nervous system around the globe is being put in position. And one of the battles we're seeing is a lot of the older regimes who deal in the consciousness we had before are suffering. They're going down. I think even the government telling us that they're reading our emails and listening to our phone calls is because they've lost control. They've lost the reins, and all over the world now, you can speak to someone in Japan in 10 seconds. It's like we're connected up. And secondly, I think there's a new consciousness called quantanglement. And basically,
wait a minute, quantanglement?
Quantanglement. That means quantum entanglement. And entanglement is where it's the study of the ultra, the smallest particles in the universe. And before we had Newtonian physics, which is the law of separate, you know, bigger, that's molecules and big stuff, and everything is separate and quantifiable, measurable. But on the quantum level, the study of the smallest things in the universe, when you take two electrons or protons or photons and they're entangled, they're around each other, and you separate them, could be across the universe. When you affect one, the other's affected instantaneously. Like if you flip the polarity on one electron, the other goes the other way instantaneously, no matter how far. And the thing is that if our scientists are right, that the universe sprang forth from a primordial atom, then we're all quantangled, we're all entangled. And this is the new reality, that we're not separate from each other, we're all one. We're all, and I think that when you look at Earth from space, you don't see any borders. I think it's time for a new look at our planet, and we're living a new quantangled in consciousness, and we're connected via our cellular electronic world. I think we're entering into something great here, and birthing isn't always a pretty picture necessarily, but I think we're being birthed into space, and we're being birthed into a new consciousness.
Well, I appreciate the insight. I don't know that I agree with it necessarily, but it is very interesting, and it is possibly true. Thanks very much for the call, man.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Do we have any more time, or what's going on? Let's take one more call. Bruce.
Cheer you up. The Salem Area Peace Network invites you to participate in 30 Days of Peace in the Salem area, September 21st to October 24th. And it's the goal is to support justice and respect for the rights of others, to celebrate Salem area's ethnic and cultural diversity, to encourage respect for all life and conservation of natural resources, to uphold nonviolence, peaceful coexistence, and harmony, and to help area people become more conscious of peace and the purpose it is in their daily life.
Well, I'm glad you called about that, because that's a cool idea.
Wait a minute, I'm not quite done. So the events start September 21st, which is the International Day of Peace, with the Salem Area Peace Festival, and then ends on United Nations Day celebration, October 24th at the Peace Plaza in Salem with dancing, music, and food. Okay, so in the intervening period between September 22nd and October 23rd, they hope that various individuals and organizations will organize peace events in Salem and its neighboring communities. So these events may include training in mediation, nonviolence, conflict resolution, talks and symposiums on peace, flash mobs, peace-building activities like peace games, peace vigils.
Yeah,
peace walks.
I have to cut you off only because we're out of time. I hope people do the Salem thing. I think it sounds great. I love the prep. I love flash mobs. Hey, I got to get off the air. This is KBOO 90.7 on the FM dial. This was Positively Revolting. Joe Uris here sitting in for the wonderful women who do the show. You stick around. KBOO will bring you something that's built on the ground. See you later.
What did the blue one went away? The other blue are f***ing well. She was noisy everywhere.